Five minority teenagers were accused of raping and bludgeoning a jogger in New York City's Central Park. They confessed on tape. They were convicted. They were sent to prison. Only problem was, within a few months, DNA evidence surfaced, proving that they couldn't have done it. And then a few years later, investigators connected the crime to the psychopath who had actually committed the crime. Only then were the teens released. One of the five was Raymond Santana, 14 years old at the time. I watched his video confession, which is posted online. He was sitting there with his father, and the detective asked some questions, and he confesses to everything, to going into the park with a group of kids to attack joggers, attacking the woman, and then watching as another boy violates her and hits her with a brick. But he told me that between the time of the crime and the confession, the detectives had coached him through two written statements, both of them false. Raymond Santana was in Seattle last night for a speech at the UW, and I asked him how the cops got him to lie so convincingly.
So is there a point in the days before that videotape that the cops just dictated to you? I mean, how did they approach it? They say, now, son, here's what we want you to say when we turn the camera on. I mean, how did they go about doing that?
Well, it's what it is. They use a good cop, bad cop on me, and then it was also through extensive questioning where they get you to a state of being helplessness and a state of being broken. And once they do that and you just want the pressure to stop, you're liable to say anything.
What was it as if they made you believe it? Or did you know at the time that you gave the confession that this was all made up?
I knew that it was all made up.
You did.
I never believed it once. The only thing was that I figured that they would figure out that I was lying.
I see.
And that somebody would come back and say, this is all wrong. The facts doesn't add up. This isn't what the woman had on. You lied to us.
Yeah.
That's what I was worried about. I was worried about more about that than anything else.
Yeah. Well, it's true. Even the confession, you don't know what the woman had on. So,
yeah.
But your dad was there. Now, did he know that you were making this up?
Yeah. I come from a family where I don't lie to my dad. Right. And before I can actually say, no, it's a lie, Detective Sheen stopped him. And then he starts to yell at my dad, you know. And at this point, my dad had a 10th grade education.
Yeah.
No, he's a hardworking man, worked his whole life, doesn't have no contact with the police, didn't even know his rights. So what does he do? He succumbs to the pressure and doesn't say anything and also ultimately becomes afraid.
Huh. So he, the whole time this confession, this videotape confession goes on for 34 minutes, he didn't say a word that I heard. He just...
Didn't say a word.
Just listened to it.
And Detective Mike Sheen scares him so bad that by the time we get to this videotape, he doesn't say anything.
So how long did you spend in prison?
7 years.
7 years. When did you find out that the actual perpetrator had been found?
Around 2001, 2002, because it was an 8-month investigation for them to realize that he was the sole perpetrator.
Yeah. And this is a guy who had already been in jail.
This was, I mean, if you do the research on him, Matias Reyes was known as the East Side Slasher, the East Side Rapist. That summer of 1989, he committed 4 rapes and the murder of a pregnant woman while her kids was in the next room. Matias Reyes also tried to rape a woman in Central Park 2 days before he raped the jogger. Also, when they did the reinvestigation, he went on to solve 4 unsolved cases for them that they didn't know that he did. This man had an extensive history.
So what's the lesson that you think people need to take from this?
Well, it's an awareness that, like, a conversation between a man and his son shouldn't consist of what happens if you're stopped by police.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we at nowadays. Back then, it consisted more of how do I court a girlfriend? What do I do if I take her on a date? You know, how do I pull out a chair? Now I'll talk about, you know, what happens if you're stopped by police. How do you respond? Don't be aggressive. Yes, sir. No, sir. Because we're afraid that our kids are not going to make it home at night.
Do you think anything has changed since 1989?
I mean, there's some things that have changed, but it's not enough progress. Like, you know, there's things that happen on the news, and the media still vilifies our youth. You know, they still criminalize them. They still put them, you know, they still have society thinking that they must be guilty of something. So not a lot has changed in that aspect because it happened in 1989 and it's still happening now.
Raymond Santana, one of the Central Park Five who spoke at the UW last night. He's been delivering lectures at colleges around the country and has a family now.
I'm engaged. I have a daughter who's 15 years old. Mm-hmm. And every day it's still a struggle. And every day I try to put the pieces back together, but it's still difficult. But I'm trying.